We're going to take a handful of minutes to finish up on fellow workers with God here, and then see if you have any questions you want to ask. We were finishing off the last part with talking about doing the will of God from the heart, which includes serving our masters according to the flesh as unto Christ. And that's really a key to how this is supposed to work according to the Bible. The same truth is in Colossians chapter 3, but it adds another detail that I wanted to highlight here. Colossians 3:22. Of course, we'd expect Colossians to track very closely with Ephesians, since Colossians corrects the doctrinal error, from not following the doctrine of Ephesians. So if in Ephesians we see to work heartily as unto the Lord, we should expect to see that in Colossians, and we do. Verse 22, servants or employees or students or workers or keepers in the home or whatever your responsibility may be, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. That sounds familiar. Not with eye service as men pleasers again, but in singleness of heart, fearing or reverencing God. That's why you do it, because you reverence God. And whatsoever you do, if it's at work, at home, whether it's writing a letter, writing a paper, preparing a meal, in your relationships, whatever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto who? Not unto men. The word heartily is literally out of your soul, out of your whole being. Do it with your whole heart, really with your whole being, the heart represents. Throw your whole being into what you're doing. Give it all you've got, God says. We don't just sit around waiting for the return and saying, well, don't need to do anything. We give it all we've got in every part of our life and every responsibility, knowing that he could come back at any moment. And if we do our best today, our best gets better tomorrow. We grow in our capacity and our ability to walk with God and enjoy the things of life, including work. And we're going to be rewarded, because verse 24 says, again as it did in Ephesians, knowing, being certain, being confident, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve your boss.
No,
you serve the Lord Christ. And if we do it for that reason and with that confidence, then we can do it according to the word. Then God adds the blessing. Then God can multiply our efforts and really make it sing. Philippians 2, while we're in the neighborhood here. We do it for God, and because of that, God rewards us. If we don't do it for God, then we're cutting ourselves off from God being able to reward us, help us, bless us, and make it work like he designed it to be. Make it our time in the garden with God. Philippians 2, verse 12, says, God speaking, of course, his word, wherefore my beloved, we're his beloved children, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, not just when I'm watching, not just when I'm there, Paul says, by revelation, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's that same figure, with respect and obedience. And that's kind of an odd verse in some ways, if we haven't thought about it before. It says, work out your own salvation. But Philippians is addressed to people who are already saved, and we know that salvation isn't by works. This work out here is to demonstrate or to show our wholeness. Salvation is wholeness. We're to work intensely to demonstrate or show our wholeness with reverence and obedience. In other words, how can I live a lifestyle in my work and everything else I do that shows that I'm whole, that shows that I belong to God, that shows that I'm a believer, that shows that I am a son of God and operate according to the word, that shows who I am and what I have in Christ? How can I demonstrate in my life, in my action, in my responsibilities, in my work, that I am a son of God, the wholeness of the new birth? Verse 13, a verse that we've never seen before in our entire life, is in this context, very interestingly. For it is God which worketh where? In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, we're fellow workers with God. Remember, God works in me. God works with me and in me. That's fantastic. What makes me different than an unbeliever doing the same thing, an unbeliever in the same classroom, an unbeliever in the same job, an unbeliever doing the same responsibilities I do, I have Holy Spirit. And God can be at work within me to will and to do of His good pleasure. But it's in the context of my believing and operating the Word and looking to God and doing it for God so that I am demonstrating that I'm a son of God. I'm outwardly showing my wholeness in Christ. I'm showing I live by a different standard. My vocation, my calling is higher than the world's. I'm a son of God. But I have to manifest that. I have to put it into practice. I have to use it. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And murmurings and disputings is pretty much the favorite sport in most workplaces, as far as I can tell. Murmurings, there's a distinction between the two. Murmurings is the muttering under your breath. You know, they ask you to do something and you do it, but in your mind or under your breath, you're complaining, you're resisting, you're begrudging, you're thinking mean thoughts about the boss, you're going, alright, I'll do it, but that's murmuring. Disputing is, it's no longer under your breath. You just come out and say, no, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. Screw you. Yeah. You know. Do all things without, God says, in the context of demonstrating our wholeness, demonstrating we're children of God, demonstrating God at work within us, without murmurings and disputings. That would encompass complaining about the boss or other employees or all those kinds of things. And again, this is rampant in the world. It's easy to fall into. Of course, this is a favorite retemery for parents with children. It comes right after Ephesians 6:1, right, with the kids. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. But in the workplace, everybody does it all around, at least every place I've ever worked. I don't know about where you've worked, but so you just have to decide you're not going to participate. Walk away from it. When people come to me and they want to complain about the boss or complain about some other employee or whatever it is, I just say, I'm sorry, I'm busy right now, I have things to do. And you know what happens? You do that a couple of times, and then pretty soon, they learn not to come to you with that stuff. They learn that you're not going to listen. They'll go find somebody else to tell it. And you can still hear it swirling all around you. It goes on constantly. But you know what? They ain't going to waste my time with it, because I just don't allow it. I'm not nasty about it. I'm not mean about it. If they want to talk to me about anything else, work, a personal need, whatever it is, my heart's open, my ear's open, I'll try to help anybody. I mean, that's, I'm a son of God. That's, I'm part of why I'm there, to demonstrate God's heart to wherever I am, including at work. But if they come wanting to talk about people or murmur or dispute, I simply excuse myself. And pretty soon, they don't come anymore. They really don't. It's very simple. They won't come around and waste my time with the latest gossip and garbage. But this is a problem. It's a problem at work. It's a problem among students at school. It's a problem among housewives at home. It's a problem everywhere. It's just the world. But when you don't participate, you'll shine. You'll adorn the doctrine of God. You will show forth a higher standard. Verse 15 says, if we don't murmur and dispute, we let God work in us, and we demonstrate by our lifestyle our wholeness, we're blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Yeah, it is that. But among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And of course, that's what we want to get to tell them why we're different. Share with them that we're different. They'll know we're different, but then we can tell them why. In order that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's a great witness, and that's available. And part of it is not murmuring and disputing. It's developing a lifestyle of demonstrating our wholeness before God in the way we handle ourselves. And it's in not murmuring and disputing, and it is in letting God work within us. 2 Peter 1. God has called us to a high and noble and mighty calling, that of sons of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. We want to live that calling. That's our true calling. That's what makes us different. That's what sets us apart, and that's the greatness of what we have in Christ. We want to live that, enjoy it, manifest it, and have it be a witness. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, according as His, God's divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness is a relationship with God. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and what? God has called his children to glory and virtue. The word virtue is superior excellence. That's wonderful, I think. God has called us to his glory and superior excellence. We've been called to walk in the world, but not to be of the world. We are to walk a walk of superior excellence to the ways of the world. That's our calling. That's the greatness of what God has called us to do. As a believer, as a son of God, as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, my life is to exhibit God's superior excellence in everything I do, to operate at a higher standard than those around me at work. I'm on time. I do work diligently and heartily. I follow through until things are done. I do them right the first time. I don't steal from my employer. And above all, I am motivated by something much higher than everybody around me. I'm motivated by the love of God rather than anything else, not by fear, not by the approval of men, not by love of money. And then that is superior excellence in the walk. I do it as if Jesus Christ himself had asked me to do it. That's superior excellence. Either way, I got to go to work. Either way, I got to go to school. Either way, I got to take care of my house. I'm going to do these things anyway. If I'm going to spend the time, spend the effort, spend my life on these things, why not make them part of growing with God? Why not take advantage of having it be a blessing to me, a growth for me, and a blessing to God and a witness to the Word? But the key is my head, my habit patterns, and my motivation as I do it. That determines the profit. I can put in all the effort and time tomorrow and come home and have it not profit me a bit. Or I can spend the same amount of time, the same amount of hard work, this, you know, deal with the same baloney that we have to deal with sometimes, but have it be something productive and godly, something that earns me rewards, and something that causes my relationship with God to grow. Why not get rewarded for going to work and going to school? By God. It's available. But it's all in our attitude and application of the Word. Luke 16. This will be the last of the principles of godly work that I'm going to share with you today. Obviously, we haven't covered all of them by any stretch of the imagination. And then we'll just look at a couple of the benefits of doing it this way. Luke 16, though, is worth looking at. Verse 10, we looked at this verse when we started this whole series of teachings. I'm going to look at it in a slightly different light. Luke 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? And he that is unjust in the least, God says, is going to be guaranteed unjust also in much. If, therefore, you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, and that would include work, who's going to commit to your trust the what? The true riches. And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, which is often our case in carrying out our responsibilities, who shall give you that which is your own? And then it goes on to make the important point, no servant can serve two what? Two masters, right? There's only one can come first. He that is faithful in that which is least, you know, the stupid little things, or what seem to be the stupid little things, like being on time, like having integrity, which are not either stupid or little, but in the world's eyes, they seem like the stupid little things. Sometimes, honestly, we as believers have not operated according to superior excellence and the Word. We're lacking in faithfulness. Sometimes we do things until the newness wears off, or until somebody pisses us off, or until, we just don't feel like it anymore, then we're not faithful to stay our minds, to believe God, to operate Holy Spirit, to remember to do it because it's the love of God that's motivating us, remembering that Christ is coming back. God says if you don't do it in the basic things of daily physical life, you're not going to do it in the spiritual things. And that's what ought to catch our attention. You cannot turn principle in your life on and off like a faucet. Sometimes, I know we think, because I've thought it, and I'm sure it's crossed your mind before, we'll think that, I'm late a lot of times, or I lack state of mind, or I'm disorganized or unfaithful sometimes with physical things, but then say, but I'll be real sharp and faithful when it comes to God and the Word of God, because that's important. God says it doesn't work that way. He stops short of calling us a liar, but basically says it can't be done. you cannot be unfaithful, undisciplined, unfocused in the physical things and then say you're going to be in the spiritual things. Life does not, you can't turn it on and off. So the flip side of that, which I think is the beauty of it and something that really blessed me when I finally understood it, is that that also implies that if I do all these other things I have to do, work, home, my other responsibilities, family, that can help me build the Word of God in my life. I can use my time at work, my time at home, my time at school, all those things, to build my capacity to walk with God bigger. Because if I'm faithful in that which is least, I am building the capacity to be faithful in that which is much. If I'm faithful in that which is least, which are the physical things by definition in the verse, then God can entrust me with greater riches. Do you want more revelation from God in your life? I do. Do you want to walk with more power of God in your life? I do. Do you want to be able to help people more with God's word in it? I do. Do you want to see more of God's prosperity in your life? I do. I want all those things. Well, God says, you know what? One great way to get there is to learn and practice being faithful and disciplined and loving in the stuff that seems to have nothing to do with that, like the daily stuff that we all have to do. Well, that changes my perspective about going to work and about taking care of all these other things that sometimes I really don't quite feel like doing. But if I look at those and I go, wow, this could help me be a better believer. This could help me walk with God bigger. This could help me in the things that I really care about, that I really want to see in my life. Instead of saying work is a distraction from what I want to do with the Word, work can be a way of building God's Word in my life and seeing God's blessing and God work and be part of my fellowship with God. But you can't turn it on and off. If I have a habit pattern of cutting corners, of not doing things all the way, it is going to affect everything else I do. So what's going to happen? If I get in the habit, for example, if I'm supposed to check something at work, if I'm responsible to oversee something, and it gets done, and I check 60% of it and say, well, that's enough. I guess it's okay. Well, now I'm working God's Word, and I'm trying to understand something about God's heart and God's will in the Word. And there's 10 usages of this particular word in the Bible. And I'll check 6, and I'll go, well, all right, I know what it means, instead of checking all 10. Do I really know what it means biblically? No. I've cut corners. I haven't been faithful. That's a dishonest handling of God's Word, but I've cut corners. If I'm used to listening to instructions that I'm given at work or in the world or at school and the things I'm supposed to get done for the next day, and I'm kind of sloppy with that and go, oh, it's not that big a deal, I'll just figure it out later, or they can tell me again if I forget or whatever. What happens when God wants to give me revelation? God will say, look, at 2:00, go over here, call this person, say this, and then, if they respond like this, do this, and then go over here, and you'll be able to help meet a need and see my deliverance happen. But in my mind, I'm going to go, well, let's see, yeah, 2:00. Well, you know, but I got something else to do, too. I'll call it about 2:15 when I get back. And, you know, if I say something kind of like, in other words, it's a habit pattern. I want to walk with God. The other stuff, really, is not that important to me. I mean, it's just part of life, and that's okay. But if I'm in the habit of doing, of obeying from the heart, if I'm in the habit of being detailed, if I'm in the habit of not cutting corners, if I'm in the habit of being faithful in that which is least, I am building my capacity for God to give me more revelation, for me to be a part of more of the deliverance of God, for me to see more of God's word in my life, for me to be able to be blessed and be a blessing in a greater way. If I say I'll do it in the word, but I don't do it in my daily life, I'm kidding myself. It doesn't work that way. But the flip side is, that gives me a great motivation to want to do it better in the stupid stuff, as I call it. I mean, it's not really stupid stuff. It's an important part of life, all these things. They're part of God's Word. But it is a way to build God's Word in my life. Ecclesiastes 3. God never asks us to do something without telling us the benefit. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 3. So what are the benefits of working according to God's Word? Here's your benefit package, according to God, if you will. Ecclesiastes 3, I passed it. Where am I? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Some of the benefits of working according to God's word, we've already seen. We get to eat. Yay! That's a benefit in my book. You're an example to others instead of a burden. We saw that in 1 Thessalonians. You have to give to him that needeth in the household. We saw it in Ephesians 4. That's a benefit. You'll have rewards in eternity. That's a benefit of working in God's design. You'll build your capacity to receive and carry out spiritual responsibilities. That's a benefit. So we get to eat. We're an example to others instead of a burden. We have to give. We get rewards. We build our capacity to do spiritual things. That's part of our benefit package of doing it God's way. Here are a couple of others. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor." It's the gift of God. One of the gifts of God to us is the ability to work, to be able to work, and to enjoy work, to have learn and practice the pleasure of getting things done that need to get done, and of fellowshipping with God as we do them. That's a gift from God, something he wants us to have. That's part of the good of life and the rewards of work, if we work God's way. How about Ecclesiastes 5? Verse 12. Ecclesiastes 5:12. We read this before also in another context, but I think this is a benefit of work. According to the word, the sleep of a laboring man, one who works heartily and according to the word, is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. We get sweet rest. We can sleep peacefully at the end of the day, knowing we did our best that day for God. We get up tomorrow and we walk with God again, and God continues to bless us and meet our needs if we're doing it for him, because we're applying his law, his principles, his word. Proverbs 18, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs 18, benefits of working God's way: get to eat, example to others rather than a burden, have to give to him that needeth in the household, have rewards in eternity, build your capacity to receive and carry out spiritual responsibilities. You get to enjoy more fellowship with God, have God teach you more. You get to rest sweetly. Here's another one. Proverbs 18:16 says, some of us were talking about this verse at the break there, "A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men." When you work faithfully and believingly and lovingly, heartily as unto the Lord, and applying the word, operating Holy Spirit, all these things, you get more responsibilities of service. As we're faithful in the things we're doing now, God can entrust us with more later. You can think of men like that in the Bible. I mean, think about it. You want to talk office politics? How about Daniel? His co-workers are plotting to kill him and get the boss to do it. Call that office politics, but he ended up on top, didn't he? How about Joseph? A little office romance problem there? Falsely accused? You know, but he ended up on top, didn't he? Daniel's a great example. He had such integrity that it says that they looked for days for something to accuse him on, and they couldn't find anything. That's the integrity and honesty and biblical standard, the superior excellence with which he walked. The only thing they could find to accuse him on is, well, he worships God. Well, go ahead, accuse me of that all you want. No problem. I would love to be accused of that. They looked at every part of his life and they couldn't find anything except that he worshiped God. That's in the walk of integrity. 1 Corinthians 3. We can walk in superior excellence. Walk with God, enjoy the benefit of God, the blessing of God, the supply of God, the care of God, the personal involvement of God in every part of our lives, if we let him, by doing the word, by being motivated by the love of God, by God being first. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7 says, "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth." The big deal is who? God that giveth the increase. God's always the one that puts the juice to it, as I say, when we do it his way. God is the one who makes the seed grow. God's the one who multiplies all that we sow. God's the one who puts the blessing on it, a blessing above what we could ask or think, a blessing beyond what we're able to receive. The windows of heaven, right, overflowing. We have our part and God has his part. We need to do our part faithfully and lovingly, and we're confident that God will do his part. God will work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he'll bless us abundantly. Verse 8, now he that planteth in this work, partnership between us and God, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to somebody else's labor.
No.
Ah, very important. We're going to get rewarded according to whose labor? Our labor. We'll be rewarded in eternity. God has guaranteed it. We've read it in more than one place. But that reward we receive will be for the word of God we've applied in our lives, not for what somebody else did, nor for our good intentions. There's no reward, as far as I can tell, in the Bible for good intentions. Yes, God looks on the heart, but if I say, well, I meant to do the word, but I don't do the word, sorry, that doesn't cut it. We're rewarded according to our labor. What I did, motivated by the love of God and according to the word of God, every single thing I did in my entire life on that basis will be rewarded. Can I clean a bathroom with the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a meal with the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
Can I do my homework with the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
And I do the job that I think the boss is out of his mind for and is keeping me from doing the other things I'm supposed to be done, and he's doing it wrong anyway, and somebody else is taking the credit. Can I do that with the love of God? I can choose to do that because it's a choice. If I do it for that reason and in that way, I will be rewarded. God guarantees it. I can't lose if I do it that way. So if right now work for us is not one of those categories, we can change that. Why not get rewarded for going to work anyway? By God. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Of course, in the context here, this was men of God building the fellowship of the believers, but it can apply in all of our responsibilities. We can be laborers together with God. And we get to fellowship more with God. We get taught more by God. We get to see God working more in our lives. We get to be fellow laborers with God. We get to be about our Father's business. Right? It's God and Sons. That's the company. Established 28 AD. And we're a part of that. We're a part of the family business. We get to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and see the body of Christ grow. And those are the greatest rewards of all. That is the true riches. And let's finish in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. In light of everything we've seen on prosperity, on God's heart, on his desire for his kids, on the part that we need to play in building our relationship with God and in applying giving and receiving and in work, in light of all that, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what?
Steadfast.
And what?
Unmovable.
Always what?
Abounding.
In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, and surely by now we should know this, if not, God reminds us so we can be convinced, that your labor is not in vain when it's in the Lord. Anything we do outside of being in the Lord is in vain. And the word vain means it's profitless, it's useless, it doesn't produce great fruit. But our labor in the Lord is not in vain. God assures us of that. That's why we can be steadfast, we can be unmovable, we can abound in the work of the Lord. And if I'm doing what I do, keeping a home, going to school, holding a job, if I'm doing those things for God and motivated by the love of God, then that is part of the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord isn't just witnessing and reading my Bible and going to fellowship. Sure, that's a big part of it. But if I make my other parts of my life part of my commitment to God and do it for God and do it with the Word of God, then it's part of the work of the Lord too. Then I'm rewarded in those things as well, not just for the time I'm at fellowship, or not just for the time I'm doing something to help a believer, or not just for the time I'm studying God's Word. There is no reason why my time at home, my time at school, my time at work cannot be part of the work of the Lord. But that requires that I do it for God, and that I do it with the Word, and that I do it in fellowship with Him, and enjoy His working in me to do that. Biblical work is a joyous fellowship of believing God in anticipation of Christ's return.